Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm going to take a couple minutes and talk about tomorrow's final round. Well, first things first. Okay, we got to wait a couple minutes. Michael Williams from GolfWRX is going to join us.com to give us his insights from today's, the first three rounds altogether, and certainly the round that Shane Lowry did today. It was off the charts good. I'm a bit of a golf fan, golf geek. Yes, I watch all around. Yes, I got up early this morning to make sure I saw all the top players tee off, and that was still early in the morning. But the kind of round that Lowry had was off the charts. 63. 8 birdies, no bogeys, and he missed his 9th birdie and a 62 by an inch on the final hole. It just stripped the outside of the cup on 18, about a 22, 23-foot putt. And he almost made 9 birdies with no bogeys. As it was, it tied the best round ever at a British Open. It tied the best 3-day score, 54-hole score, for any British Open. And if he had made the birdie, he would have tied the best round for 50, best score for 54 holes in any major ever. Yeah, Shane Lowry just kind of put the rest of the field on the back burner today. Now, could come out tomorrow. Mother Nature could have some say in this before we get there. But we'll try and put where we sit in the British Open in proper perspective with Michael Williams from GolfWRX.com. Michael, Jody Mack here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, my brother. How about yourself?
My pleasure. Before all the good stuff, and that Shane Lowry and everything else, I did want to get your take on this one controversial issue which popped up today. I guess Brandon Schauffele got all ticked off. The RNA governing body for the British Open does testing on drivers that doesn't happen on a week-in, week-out basis, and the information, if you don't pass, is supposed to be kept confidential, and it wasn't. It leaked out. Give us the background of the story as best you know it, best you understand it.
Right. So as far as I understand, you're right. The RNA, the Royal and Ancient, is one of the governing bodies of the game. It's the RNA and the USGA, and they provide all the rules for not only how we play the game on the course, but also the standards by which all the clubs have to conform to in that terms of the depth of grooves, the number of grooves in a club. And in this case with the driver, something called CT, which is basically how long how much a ball can rebound off of a club face. And if it has too much rebound, it obviously will give you an advantage and make your drives longer than everybody else. And everybody's supposed to be using exactly the same thing. So they do random testing for this. Apparently it's Xander Schauffele, and his driver was deemed to be non-conforming. It had a little bit too much spring in the face. So they took it out of play, got another driver and play with it. The thing is, it's supposed to be kept confidential. He's right about that. It's supposed to be kept confidential. I think that he's most ticked off about it is because he's getting teased, essentially. He's getting hazed. Because you have people who are saying, like, yeah, he's a cheater. You know, hey, buddy. Hey, cheater. You know, hey, whatever. And apparently it's sort of like, I think it's more like ribbing than anything else. I don't think that Xander's a cheater because I haven't heard of this thing coming up before. If it is something that has happened again and again and again and players know about, then that's something different. And that's really the part of this thing that we don't know. You know, maybe this has happened a number of times before, be it once, maybe twice, something like that, and players know about it. And this time the public knows about it and they know something that we don't know. But other than that, you know, he took the drink out of his bag. He's still playing well. He's in contention. So, you know, it's not that big of a deal. To me, it's just sort of drama, you know, in a sport that really doesn't have that much drama. This is a little bit.
Right. I don't want to see any controversy when Shane Lowry puts up the kind of round that he did today. But it did. It happened. But a quick question. With the other majors that aren't involved with the RNA, which is specific because of the British Open, do they do these same tests for the other three majors here in the U.S. or other tournaments throughout the year in golf? Or is this something that's kind of stringent and above and beyond because it is the British Open?
No, it's random testing. And they'll do testing the week of a major. Sometimes they'll go a couple of weeks with it. And it's not always the same players at the same time. Not everybody's club gets tested every week. It's a very random thing. So it's just kind of chance that this happened. You know, I honestly don't think that Xander Schauffele, I don't think he wants to put his reputation, nor does Callaway, you know, one of the largest manufacturers of clubs, want to put their reputation at stake by putting out something that is a non-conforming club, having him win. I don't think that they want to risk their reputation in that way. So again, I think it's unfortunate that it got out. I think it's unfortunate that it happened. It's unfortunate that it got out to the public because it really shouldn't. But if it's deemed that this has had this happen to him again and again and again, then yeah, I think maybe you have to look at something, look at the manufacturer, look at the player and say, you know, well, what's going on here? But in terms of a one-off, I think it's not that big of a deal.
Michael Williams, golfwrx.com, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right. Prior to today, what was the best round you've ever seen in a major that you were following, you were covering?
Oh, that's a very good question. The best round that I've ever seen, you know, there's a few. I mean, you think about basically any round of golf where Tiger won a major. I would say probably Tiger's final round in 2000 at Pebble Beach.
Buried the field, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm old enough to have seen Johnny Miller 63 at Oakmont. I remember that. I was a little kid watching on TV, and that may be the best round that's ever been shot, 63 on Sunday at arguably the hardest golf course in the world. And if you don't believe it's the best round, just ask Johnny because he'll tell you.
And it's funny, man. I was coming up with the way to ask this question because I want to give Lowry credit for the round that he shot today and put it in its proper perspective. One that popped up for me was Rory at Congressional. And Rory is a story this week because he didn't make the cut and everyone thought he was the favorite to win back home in Northern Ireland. The reason why I asked it the way I did, this goes right there with any of those rounds, Johnny Miller or Tiger or Rory. I was just so impressed. He was like a machine out there today, Shane Lowry. There was no one shot, one unbelievable drive, one pitch where he hit it within 2 inches or any 40-foot putt that he drained. He just did everything the same exact every hole. Middle of the fairway, on the green, make the putt, move on. And eight birdies and no bogeys. I thought it was one of the more, without being awe-inspiring, just within doing your job and doing it as well as you possibly can, it might be the best major round that I've ever seen.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, it was like watching, if you've ever gone out to a country club and watched the best player at that club play on his home course, and he just makes it look like, okay, we got to find a harder sport for this guy to play. He's just making it look too easy, you know? And they go out and shoot like a 65 or 67, like they're taking candy from a baby. That's how it was for him today. You're absolutely right. The couple of times that he did hit a couple of errant drives, he was fortunate enough to get decent lies and made the most of them and hit just spectacular recovery shots that ended up in where it could have ended up being a double bogey or worse, ended up being birdies for him. And you know, this, let's not forget, he missed by 1 inch shooting a 62, which would have been only the second 62 ever shot at a major. We had Brandon Grace do that 2 years ago. When we talk about the best rounds ever, I guess we have to include the lowest round ever in a major championship in that discussion with Brandon Grace. The guy is just so within his skin. He's so the opposite of how Rory performed. I was so disappointed and how Rory performed in this thing. And I wonder if that doesn't put a permanent mark on his psyche. You know, this is sort of, you know, you have to wonder, is this bigger? What happened to him? Is it bigger than what happened to him in 2010 at the Masters? You know, I mean, that was just a disaster, like complete and utter disaster, that back nine. Is this even worse than that? But Shane Lowry is a guy who I had as my dark horse favorite going in. He won the Irish Open as a teenager. He almost won the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Again, the one of the hardest tracks you can imagine, had a four-shot lead going into the last round and finished up T2 to the eventual winner, Dustin Johnson, who broke through for his first major there. But, you know, the guy has all the shots, everything. His short game is legendary. among players. People talk about him in reverent tones when you talk about his short game. And imagination and that short game, that's what linked golf is all about. So can he handle the pressure going into Sunday? You know, he's got this thing. He's got the experience under his belt now. You know, what was a wound hopefully is now a callus from what happened at Oakmont. And he can go out and not play too defensive, just do what he's been doing. Like you said, be methodical, hit the ball in smart places, get a couple of birdies, avoid disaster, and bring home what would be just a magnificent story, an Irishman winning the Open Championship when it's being held in Ireland. It's the story that I want to write.
Understood, but it is Northern Ireland. So is it as fitting as it can be that it's an Irishman and a Brit in the final twosome heading out tomorrow? I kind of feel bad for Tommy Fleetwood. He goes out and shoots 66 today, and he loses ground. How do you shoot 66 and lose ground? But those two go mano a mano together. You give Fleetwood any kind of shot?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood is really the highest-ranked player in the world right now to have never won a tour. He's won on the European Tour, of course. He hasn't won a PGA Tour event, and this counts as a PGA Tour event. And obviously, he has not won a major championship. You know, you would say that you're right. The guy goes out and shoots a 66, you know, on that course in the Open Championship. You'd think he'd be up on top of the leaderboard. So he's probably pulling his hair out. And if there's anybody who has hair to pull out, it's Tommy Fleetwood, right? He's got plenty. So he can do that. But Tommy is an extremely talented player. And again, I think Shane Lowry, although he has a four-shot lead, can't afford to get too defensive and start looking for 18 pars because Tommy can go low again. You've also got Brooks Koepka looking back there. And by the way, if that guy shot 4-under, he could easily have shot a 63 himself, maybe even a 61. I mean, if that guy had hit any putts, I think he probably hit maybe 25 feet worth of putts today. Okay, he missed by so little on everything. So if he starts to make those putts, and other guys at the top of the board in front of him start to falter, you could have kept it right in there too. Because this is a guy who's gone last four championships. He's playing military golf. 1-2, 1-2 are his finishes in the last four majors. So, again, you've got a lot of talent behind Shane Lowry, but you've got a lot of crowd rooting for him too. And we'll see if they can lift him, you know, to that Claret Jug Championship.
He does get home course advantage tomorrow, he does play last. And they moved the start time up an hour because weather is supposed to get bad as the day goes on. So whoever gets out early is probably going to have the better of it. Is there someone sitting, I know it's a long way to make up, 7-8 strokes away, because Lowry did what he did late and opened it up as big as he did, I think it renders this point moot, but does the weather become a factor? Could someone who gets out earlier actually make a run and put up a number that's going to be tough for those who are playing in bad conditions later?
I mean, there's a possibility. Like somebody could go out and put up a number, go, you know, 6-under. You know, 6-under could be out there early, and, you know, maybe people will be struggling to make a number like that. Maybe after the weather starts, you know, 3 is going to be good. The thing is, when you have, like, the English players and Irish players, they're very used and accustomed to handling the weather, and I don't think it's going to affect them quite as much as it would some other people who might be up towards the top of the leaderboard. So, yeah, there's an opportunity, certainly, to put out the number. You'd rather play in calm conditions than windy or rainy conditions. But if anybody is in a position and has the understanding to play in inclement weather, it's going to be Shane Lowry. I mean, if you talk about, you know, courses for horses, you know, he's a mutter. His mutter was a mutter. So, you know, I think it's going to be fine for him.
Michael, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. Thanks for the insight. Get ready to get up early. Thanks for hopping on with us late night tonight.
Tea and scones in the morning, brother. I'll be there right with you.
Done deal. Michael Williams from GolfWRX.com here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.